It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I had a brilliant idea. Let's talk about the Rona Pirates at all.
Oh, okay.
That's the new name for it, by the way. It's the little kid who said that.
That's pretty cool.
Is it good? I've been using it.
That's pretty awesome.
Off easier than Carla Byler.
It does.
The Rona Pirates. No, this is the thing. Some kid was like, Mom, can we go to the play place? And she's like, we can't. She's like, is it because of the Rona Pirates? Like, yep. It's because of the Rona Pirates.
I mean, yeah, that's great.
No, so I've been using that one, yeah.
Rona Pirates. I love it.
So let's not talk about it because everybody else is.
Well, now, hold on. I was all for this when you first mentioned it, but now that you've called it Rona Pirates, I kind of want to talk about it.
No, no, no. We can't talk about it. Okay. Next week, maybe, but no.
All right, all right.
I think we shouldn't, because everyone else is. So that's what makes us
that's
special.
That's true. We're different.
That being said, I got a story to tell, but it's technically not about that.
Okay.
Semantically speaking, at least. Today, when I took a walk,
yeah,
I had a conversation with a legit crazy person.
Outside?
Yes, in a car. I mean, I wasn't. They were in a car.
Oh.
I'm walking along,
were
listening
they
to my
audiobook, directions or something?
And they stop, and that's what, literally, I'm telling you a story. What did you think was going to be in the story?
Know.
I
Never
was just
going to
describe their car and
sorry.
Then stop and see what you said.
No, 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 sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so. didn't think that one
no,
through
no.
super, super far.
No, no.
Yeah, no. So, I'm walking. I'm listening to my audiobook. Somebody pulls over and says, hey, and scared the shit out of me because I didn't know they were there.
Oh,
I'm
yeah, right.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I scared you. And he's just yelling, and he's like, he's talking real fast, but he's like, you know, those kids over with the buckets at the cup, those white kids with the buckets at the come and go, and they asked for the money. And I was like, no. And he's
no.
like, well, that's okay, but they're over there. He says, but that's giving money straight to the coronavirus. And I was like, that's bad. And he's like, yeah, you want to live or you want to die? Which is never what you want to hear from your
no,
crazy person.
No.
But I mean, I'm prompt. I'm like, I want to live. I said it.
You said it.
I straight
you
up
did
said
not.
I did. The man was asking me a serious question. I don't know this man. I don't know what's going on. I'm very serious.
You want to live or you want to die?
And I said, I want to live. And he said, then you stay away from come and go. And I said, I will. And he said, okay, thank you, and drove off.
Did this really happen?
This 100% everything I am saying is true, up to and including coronavirus. This is 100% true story. I had to double check my own memory to make sure.
Wow.
Yeah. You want to live? You want to? I said, I want to live. I'm like, because he was waiting for an answer. There was like I needed to say something.
I wish I could have seen that, man. I just wanted to see the look on your face while that's happening.
Yeah. No, I did the fight or flight version where it's just. sorry. That probably doesn't translate well on radio. But I just straight face, just like, don't, because if I smirk,
oh, man, it hurts.
Like, I'm dead. Seriously, if you're a crazy person, think you're warning somebody about life or death, and somebody smirks, that's not going to be well. I have I have an easy time putting myself in the position of the crazy person.
Oh, okay.
But for the grace of just.
Yeah, right.
Sneezing too hard, go I. So I didn't want to mess around.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Do you want to live or you want to die?
Done. Yep. And that's why we're drinking tonight.
Okay, but I know that this store he was talking about is close by. Were you walking toward it?
No, it's right over there. No,
yeah.
I was literally just across the street here walking. My whole cycle that I walk is I go out here and I take the sidewalk down there
to your left
a little ways.
Yeah.
And then cross the street and take it back all the way to First Ave and then here in a circle. And sometimes I go the other direction, but that's it.
How close to the school do you get?
I'm still on this block. I don't ever leave. Oh, okay. I don't ever leave Wayne Avenue. I'm just on one sidewalk and then the other sidewalk.
So you weren't even heading that way.
No, I think he had probably just come from there, because if he pulled out from there, because it's right over there.
Yeah, it's very close by. But... Yeah,
and that I was and I said I was actually that was the thing at one point when he was talking about it, I said I wasn't there. I would just live right there, which in retrospect don't point to your house with the crazy person.
When
now,
someone says, "Do you want to live or do you want to die?"
That came later.
I live right over there.
That came later. To be fair, we had not heightened the stakes yet.
I want to live.
Tonight's episode is brought to you by Deschutes Brewery Fresh Squeezed IPA. So
that is insane, man. Seriously, that is
I told everybody I'm a legit, straight up crazy person.
That
like,
is hilarious.
Not eccentric. So I've told you before, for reasons that I won't go into, because we're not going to talk about that. We've been having online meetings, my work team, every afternoon. That's just to sort of shoot the shit.
Sure. Oh, yeah, right. You said that, yes.
Because we can't do that now because we're all working from home. Well, at some point, the pregnant lady, who can't drink right now, decided we should have a happy hour.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
I mean, you're all at home, I guess.
So one night a week at 5, we have another one, and the entire area, which is like 80 people, are invited. And then we just hang out with the beverage of your choice. And so I specifically bought this 6-pack of beer so I would have some beer to drink during that. They've proven to be really fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be fun.
And, well, it's funny because the boss, like the head of the whole thing, she was there. And the next day she's like, it was really fun last night. It was way better than I expected. We should do this every week. So then we have done it. And this last one we got talking about the Flowbee. Because everybody's talking about their Rona hair
the
now.
The Flowbee, yeah.
And it turns out one of the people owns one. And we're like, no. And they're like, it was a gift from my father-in-law and we've never used it. But so we talked about it for like 5 minutes. And then the head lady, who's originally from Romania, like 5 minutes in, she's like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. And we're like, oh my God. and she didn't believe us.
There
must
have been commercials on YouTube or something.
Yeah, well, and we were getting pictures and stuff. And we're like, yeah, no, it's raised. And back in the day, I thought this was a brilliant idea. I have talked to people
honestly,
who have
I
used
too.
It. Apparently, it did not go well.
You know, this idea with doing the happy hour over like Zoom or whatever.
Middle-aged single Japanese ladies invented it.
I could probably attend that happy hour, not drink, and it wouldn't make anyone feel weird.
No, absolutely. There were plenty of people who weren't drinking. Most people were not drinking.
Usually, people feel weird.
The first time
we
sort of made a thing of everybody having beverages, but I could tell that several of them were not. And this last time, a lot of people didn't even do that. And like, I was the first one in there because it's my meeting, so I make sure I'm there early. And the second guy, I was like, "So what's your beverage?" And he's like, "It's Dr. Pepper." And I wasn't like, "Dude, you're not drinking." I was like, "Dude, you're having caffeine at 5 p.m. He's like, "Maybe I won't drink the whole thing." I'm like, "Yeah, no, that would kill me. I'd be up all night."
Well, my experience is people feel weird if you don't drink, or if they don't, if you're in a bar, the bar seems to not like the fact that you're not drinking.
Yeah, so it's I think that's just because that's where they make most of their money.
Yeah, but. It's probably easier for people to...
Absolutely.
...and have a good time or whatever.
There's a... In in Fantasy High, the show that's doing the D&D campaign,
oh, yeah.
Their cleric is a very like uber religious. It's a Christian analog. It's technically the cult of Helio, but she's very religious and sure. She talks. There's a big thing about like, yeah, no, she totally goes to parties all the time and she'll take a beer and she when nobody's looking, she goes to the kitchen and she dumps it out and fills it with water just so people won't feel weird around her.
Maybe I should have done that kind of thing.
Don't worry. Very, very quickly, Anji decides her god sucks, and she starts questioning things. In fact, at a certain point, her holy book is literally a religions of the world book.
Mm.
And in fact, when she casts her spirit guardians to protect her, it's just a whole bunch of moral philosophy professors.
Oh, well, that's no good.
No, it was pretty fun. Anyway, hello everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is not talking about the coronavirus. I mean, check it out. Let me admit. The only podcast in the world that's not talking about the coronavirus or Tiger King.
Oh, yeah, let's not talk about that.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 472, I think.
I think I agree, so.
I can't believe, I think we waited too long for me to say it. And you told that really hilarious story that I just can't get out of my head, because that is so funny. I just wish I could have seen it, because I just imagine the look on your face.
It was a little freaky at the time, but it is very funny.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, how's your week been?
Don't
talk about no coronavirus.
We saw Knives Out. Mm.
I don't like how the tone you're using there.
Oh, it was okay. It didn't really do it for me.
I liked it.
I know you did, and
all good-hearted people did, I think.
I think so too, but it just didn't really do much for me. And then we saw it wasn't bad or anything. I don't have any specific criticism of it, and I've heard other people criticize it, and I don't really agree with any of those criticisms. Like one big criticism was
Knives Out ruined Star Wars.
No, they thought it was a sort of a bait and switch. It started out as this kind of standard.
Yeah, it starts off as a murder mystery, and it's not really a murder mystery.
Right, and some people didn't like that.
Yeah.
Which I didn't have a problem with that, but and I just didn't. I don't know. I just didn't really get into it, and I wouldn't have gotten into it more if it stayed a murder mystery either, because it was pretty by the numbers up until that point, almost as a joke, which I think part of the reason why it made that switch. But anyway, it doesn't matter. And then we saw Mary Queen of Scots with Margot Robbie, and I never know how to pronounce that gal's name, whatever, who plays Mary.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Not good.
Oh, really? Mm-mm. Very popular.
Was good.
The counter one was the favorite that everybody loved.
The acting was good, but but it's like, I mean, these actors, for the moments, the scenes where they were doing, it was like, wow, they're doing a great job. But the directing didn't tie the scenes together and give those scenes the proper emotional weight. I mean, you knew they were supposed to be. You know what it felt like? It felt like when you watched the early Harry Potter films, but you haven't never read Harry Potter.
Oh.
And all the Harry Potter fans around you think it's great because they get it and you don't.
Yeah.
So it's
I don't know what it's like because I read the books.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that for people that didn't read the books, that's what the early movies were like. Like, I don't know what's going on, and I don't know why everyone around me is cheering at this point. I mean,
I always find that
it looks like a cool scene, but I don't understand it.
In historical pieces, how much they choose to fill in and not.
Well, exactly.
And it's funny because sometimes I'll watch some and I feel insulted because they feel the need to exposition. And then other times I'm like, what is this? Is this a famous thing? What happened here?
Well, this is very much a thing where it's like someone who has really studied these two people and this era might think this is a great film. But maybe I just don't know enough. I mean, I think I thought I knew some stuff, but maybe I just didn't know enough to really get it. So it didn't impress me very much. And it seems like we saw a third thing. Excuse me. Because we're getting like actual discs from Netflix, and we're just like
sanitizing them.
Yeah, and then we're just going right through them. It seems like we saw something else that was a fairly recent theatrical release. But those are the only two I remember. And we watched this documentary on the Mothman.
God damn it.
Okay, so you're not the only one. My wife is like, why are you like reading these books and watching these films and stuff right now? What's gotten into you? I said, I don't know. It's just a, you know, as I've probably said many times, when I was little, I watched In Search Of. And I loved that show. And for whatever reason, I'm like kind of thinking about all of the In Search Of type things. And in fact, I was chatting with my brother a week or so ago, Scott, the one I did the podcast with, and he noted that just about all of the In Search Of's are on YouTube, and he decided to watch them all, and I watched as many as I could sort of with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about, well, that was boring. Oh, that was interesting. Or, you know, some of the inserts of like, by the year 2000, blah, blah, blah. And of course, that didn't happen. So he was probably more often bored than I was. I was pretty much interested the whole time. But it's like, I'm just in that headspace for some reason.
This reminds me, by the way, stuff. G.I. Joe, the cartoon, was originally not just a cartoon series. It was a specific set of three miniseries, five episodes each, designed specifically to sell toys. Those 15 episodes are currently legally on YouTube.
Oh.
Check them out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure what we were watching was, you know, pirated or something, but I don't know. I'm just, sometimes I just get on these kicks, you know? And it is weird because, you know, my wife knows I mostly make fun of a lot of the stuff I'm watching, or and I certainly don't believe in any of it, but I'm entertained by it for some reason that she doesn't really understand. But I don't know. Maybe I don't understand it either, but I guess I don't really know. Maybe it's just like nostalgia for that show that I watched when I was a kid.
All I can think of is, I'm Mothman, I'm Spider-Man.
Well, another thing that's been happening
is this because of my giant cigar that I'm smoking?
No, it's because I was laughing so much that now I'm all beklempt or whatever. But anyway, another thing that's been happening, I don't know if it's related, is I'm so angry lately. Like, I'll be talking to my wife about something that maybe doesn't annoy me or annoys me a little bit, and I'll notice my heart rate's increasing and the tone of my voice is increasing. And of course, I'm not usually like that. So she's noticing. It's like, I don't know what my problem is.
Probably the steroids.
I don't know what has got me so, because usually I can figure out the thing I'm talking about is not actually upsetting me that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Some other thing is going on that's behind the scenes that's kind of pushing that, you know.
I have a feasible theory, but you're 100% not going to, you're going to 100% think it's not true.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I've met you.
Okay, well, what is it?
Could be because you wear some all the time. I know you like that consciously, but it also changes your dynamic. The house during the daytime is your place, and you're going for an extended period without that.
I mean, I don't really have.
Unfortunately, if that is true, there's not really a solution.
I don't really have. I don't have really a basis to agree or disagree. I don't think I'm immune to that kind of thing. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I have no idea if that is something that would bother me or not. I just suspect it's something else. because there are specific things that are setting me off. That I do feel like I'm probably.
I mean, if it's stuff like the news or whatever, it could just be because it sucks.
Well, no, you know what I think it might be is
bunnies.
I think the more I start to figure out why things suck, and then I realize, oh, this has been true like my whole life, and I didn't really know it, then, I mean, of course I'm going to be angry about it. I'm going to have to get over that. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think the newest thing is I'm suddenly sinking in how much people use euphemisms. In fact, there was a report on NPR just before I came in here that was about this very thing, about euphemisms that people use when talking to women. Things that they'll insist is a compliment if it's challenged, but really it's a euphemism right? Like, oh, you're... I can't think of one off the top of my head. They were naming.
I feel like it would send a chill down my spine if you actually used it.
They're naming some good ones, but you know what I'm saying. Things that people say to women, and if the woman takes it wrong, which is probably valid, oh, it's a compliment. What do you mean? And there's lots of things like that in our society. All kinds of euphemisms that are so.
And nowadays, a lot of them are dog whistles.
Well, that too. And remember that when I. You know, I've often talked about this. When I first left home and kind of came into the world or whatever, I didn't know that these were euphemisms for things. People were probably insulting me right to my face and I didn't know it. Or I would say something to someone, not realizing it was a popular euphemism, and then I would offend them, and I didn't even know it. But, you know, it's not harmless, right? It's not harmless for people to use these codes, basically, to talk to one another, that when you challenge it or when you try to bring it out into the open what's going on, and they just deny it because, oh, that's not what I said or whatever, or even that's not what I meant. And it's like, oh, it's so frustrating. But see, this is something I'm only just starting to understand happens and has happened my whole life. And then I'll think of instances where that probably happened.
Our little innocent boy is becoming an angry, bitter man.
No, I think I'll get over it.
Not if you keep learning.
No.
You'll be like the rest of us.
I mean, this has happened lots of times in my life where I've come to realize something and it made me angry, and then I got over it until I got angry about the next thing. But there was usually a gap. And I definitely don't want to become a person who's just angry all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't see why that should happen. I know that happened. I know some people who are like that, where that's happened, and I get it. But I mean, I want to make a conscious effort for that not to happen to me. I think one way that I can keep it from happening to me is when those realizations do happen and it does make me angry, that I let it make me angry, right? I go ahead and I be angry about it. I talk to people about it, like I'm talking to you right now. I work through it, and eventually it won't make me angry anymore. I mean, that's how... There's been lots of instances in my life where I've had to just process through some revelation about how the world works that I didn't understand before. And then I didn't like it, but I wasn't angry about it.
People that use those methods and those tools to process that kind of thing just piss me off so much.
Why?
I'm just constantly in a rage.
No, you're not.
People who learn how to deal with their anger and work through it.
Stop it.
It makes me so mad.
Well, then isn't... I mean, again, for people who are angry all the time, I get it. There's just constantly things coming up to make you angry. But I think I can find a way that I can still, you know, cope and not have to be angry all the time.
I hope so, because I'm sick of all of it. You're such a rage monster.
I know. Isn't it terrible? But, you know, in terms of my wife being home, when that first started and we knew it was going to be a while, I think I did wonder if... Since it's never happened before, you know, I thought, is this going to be something that that bothers me? And the thing about it that might bother me, I mean, it doesn't seem to bother me now, but it might, is she's home, all right. That part's awesome, but she's also not. Like, we don't even have lunch.
She's really high and just like...
No, she's just working all the time. All right. Like, we don't even have lunch together. I mean, when at her previous place of work... she would come home and we'd have lunch and then she'd go back to work. And also, if she did work from home when she was working there, she could break for lunch. Yeah. Lunch. But this is, with her working home, it seems like I actually see her and interact with her less because she's working earlier because she can just get up and get on, right? And she's working later too.
That's not good.
And there's really no breaks or lunch or anything. I mean, she can run up and... Contrary to how it's like at work, she can run up, grab something, and sit back down. Mm-hmm. But she's there, but she's also not there.
Maybe then it's the opposite. But also, that does not seem like healthy behavior to me. But.
Well, the problem there is that she's still new. I mean, she hasn't been there a year yet. And she started as a project manager right in the middle of the project. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And now, I mean, you probably know this because you're in the same kind of business, really. A lot of testing was supposed to take place right now in a lot of states, and the federal government has waived testing requirements.
Yep.
So now each state is deciding whether or not they're going to have standardized tests at the end of the year, you know, because some states require standardized tests for graduation.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we weren't going to talk about all that, were we?
You haven't said why, so it's fine.
Okay, but that's a thing that she's having to deal with. So that's another thing that's making her work like this. So I mean, you're right; it's not healthy, but it's a situational thing. It won't always be like this. But if anything's bothering me about her being home, it's that. It's like, you know, gosh, you know, it's like I see you even less, even though you're home. So that's kind of frustrating.
And then you punch a wall.
No, I don't think it frustrates me that much. I think other things are frustrating me that much.
Then you punch a wall.
I don't.
A lot of wall punching.
Do you get violent when you get angry, or
not? Since I've been medicated.
Oh, violence.
When I was younger.
Violence has never been a thing. Although I say that, but then I think about how I will internalize the anger, and that's a kind of violence.
It's like punching your insides.
Yeah. It kind of is. It kind of is. And it's just as bad.
Yeah.
But I don't think people, and certainly I didn't used to, think of it as being just as bad. But it really is. So maybe, you know, yeah, I don't, but like punching things does, or even yelling at somebody, like my wife or whatever, that doesn't even occur to me, because my coping strategy my whole life has been, you know, internalize it, right?
No, that was my MO through like 22. And then I got on medication. Don't do that.
Did you punch walls?
Couple times.
Oh.
Not.
I mean, that sounds like it would hurt you.
It does, and it's not. I mean, and it's incredibly unfair to the person you're yelling with or at. Like, it's very much a threat of violence. It's a terrible thing. Didn't do it very often, but also it was a cliche kind of thing, you know? So, like, I was really angry. It was very demonstrative, I think, because I had seen guys do that in movies and stuff.
Oh, sure.
And part of my brain was like, this is how I demonstrate how frustrated I am.
Oh, huh.
But nowadays, I'm horrified by the idea. But also, I don't get that worked up, so.
Well, it takes a lot to get me angry about anything.
You only punched me a couple times. And I got to say, deserved it. Both times deserved it.
But it wasn't very hard, though.
I mean, to you.
Yeah, well,
you got tough, leathery knuckles. my pure, innocent face is bad.
Wait, so let me ask you this. Have you ever even been in a fight?
No. Well, okay. I probably have. I've been in two things that I thought were fights when I was, like, in sixth grade.
Okay.
And they weren't really fights. I've never actually thrown a punch or taken a punch in my life.
I've been in one fight. One. I don't remember what it was. Elementary school, mm-hmm. and I did not throw a punch, but I took lots of them. My position in the fight was to sit, I just wanted to talk to the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I'm not going to fight you. I just want to know He had some interaction with my brother Scott again, and Scott was like crying, and so I wanted to know what that was about. So I went and I talked to him, and he just beat me up. But I refused to hit him back.
Well, I've been in a version of that in high school. People were goading me and hitting me and trying to get me to do stuff, but I didn't consider that a fight. I just considered that being bullied.
Nobody
punched. People smacked me with things, but nobody punched
me. I guess I didn't think of it as him bullying me. He had helpers. It wasn't just him. And, you know, I'd be on the ground and I'd stand up. I'd say, I just want to talk to you about this. I'm not going to fight you. And then I'd get knocked to the ground and I'd stand back up. And I guess to my credit, I kept doing that until he just stopped. So I don't know if that's to my credit or to my stupidity, but that's the only fight I've ever been in.
Speaking of getting beat up a lot, I had our first adventure in Blades in the Dark this week.
Oh, so it was this week?
It was Tuesday.
Oh, what did you do the week before?
I was finishing up putting the crew together and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me about the rest of your week, too. I didn't mean to take up so much time.
It was insane.
It was.
It was actually bad. So we started at 6:30 like we normally do.
Yeah.
And normally we end 8:39. We went to almost 11.
Well, were you
which
doing
was
it?
Bad. We were doing over Zoom, so I was sitting here, and it was.
Do you think that made it easier to go over in time?
It does
and stuff?
A little bit, but the reason in this case was that I just wanted to. This game has a much more straightforward structure. You have your free role playing time, and then you have the score, which is your actual like mission thing, and then you have your downtime, and I wanted to go through it all. Mm. And it was very bad. Trish went to sleep early, and I was yelling and stuff in here, so she like literally turned on the bathroom fan so there'd be some white noise, and I did not put it together until I was finally finishing up, and I'm like, why is she still in the bathroom? And I look, she's not in there. So that was not fair, but it was awesome.
Well, now
I'm
is this,
so excited
is this the
this.
First time you've run a game where there was you had so little planned ahead of time?
Probably.
So that's kind of a new experience, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried to improv some things before, but
this was the whole thing
built that way.
Yeah.
Well, and I knew a couple things, especially for this first one, because I had to give them something to start with. Or whatever. But it was so crazy, and it was great, and they got so beat up, which is bad because you don't just like heal after the game's over in this one. They're still kind of beat up in some ways. Absolute insane stuff. People jumping off of rafters to smash other people around. Like, they did so poorly and still succeeded, and it was just amazing.
Those are usually the best ones.
Oh, it was all over the place. And we got the new catchphrase from our big thug-like character when she was trying to explain some things to us, and she finally said the words, "I didn't want to spill blood then, but now I do." Because she literally was throwing stuff at people, and she had brought like a hammer instead of a knife just to throw, because she's like, you don't want them to find a knife or whatever. You don't want to draw blood. But then by the end, she was literally just stabbing people in the shoulder blades because she was really mad at that point.
Really mad.
She's like, yeah. And our slide, who's like our face type character, our master of disguise and everything, she's out there trying to distract the guards and does just such a bad job. and got beat up and everything. And then guy dropped from the rafters onto a guy and did it successfully, which was amazing. And then somebody else decided they were going to swing on a rope and do like total Errol Flynn to hit the other guy. Missed completely, just into boxes. It was great. One of them tried to do that thing where you conk two people's heads together, and vastly underestimated the neck strength of the average mercenary guard. So sort of got their heads close and then got elbowed in the ribs for their trouble.
So how is success determined? By a dice roll or something? Or,
well, all sorts of things. All the rolls are dice rolls, but it's a system wherein you will succeed the majority of the time, but there will be consequences and complications the majority of the time.
Yeah, right.
You have a number of dice.
Yeah.
And you can add to it. So the number of dice are based off of a rating you have.
Sure.
1, 2, something like that. Or in some cases, 0, in which case you roll 2 dice and you take the lowest one. But you can add to it with various things. You can use a limited commodity you have called stress to give yourself an extra dice. Mm-hmm. Somebody can help you to give you extra dice.
Mm-hmm.
You can take what's called a devil's bargain if we come up with one, which is, I come up with a thing that, succeed or fail, this happens.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, like, the classic example they had in there is you're trying to, like, seduce the madam of this brothel, which is challenging because it's a madam, so she's used to seduction. And the devil's bargain was, okay, whether you succeed or not in seducing her, you fall in love with her.
Oh.
And that kind of thing. And so then you end up with however many dice, and they're 6-sided dice, and you roll them, and you just pay attention to the highest number.
Mm.
And 6 is just a straight success. 5 and 4 are successes with complications. Something happens that makes things messy or worse or something. But you succeed in what you were trying to accomplish.
Right.
And then 3 through 1 is failure plus complications.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, if you get more than 1 6, it's a critical success. But
But I mean, for you to get a... If you get a 1, they'd have to all be 1s?
Exactly. Yeah. So, assuming you're, even if you're rolling, just even if you only have 1 die, that's a 50% chance of success.
Oh.
And most of the time, you're going to have more than 1 die.
I get it.
Usually going to get success. Now, probability is a fickle mistress. I had somebody roll 5 dice at one point, which was the highest we ever did, and I think got a 2.
No way. Their
top. Yeah, it did not go well.
Oh, my God.
I had somebody else roll 2 dice. And I'm like, and they rolled. I'm like, wait, no, you can actually roll 3. She's like, I don't want to. I was like, why not? She's like, because the first 2 I got were 6s. And I was like, okay, never mind then. You're good.
But meanwhile, the person who rolled 5 to have 5,
they were all 2s and 1s. Yeah.
But also, doesn't that raise the to get more dice? Does that mean there's a higher? You're making more things complicated.
They on that one, I think they had a rating of 3.
Okay.
And they. Somebody assisted them and they got a dice, and I think they pushed themselves and they got a die. So they ended up with 5.
What's the price of pushing?
2 stress.
Okay.
Which is a limited thing. Stress lets you do a lot of cool things. Stress lets you completely resist a consequence of some sort. You can be like, no, that didn't actually happen. But stress lets you create flashbacks where you can be like, actually, we planted something there earlier. But
you don't have an unlimited number, so they spent those stress.
You have eight.
They basically spent them for nothing.
Well, you spend them on something. Yeah, in that case, yeah, it was a calculated one, and they didn't pull it off. Yeah, well, and that's the funny thing. So they spent all their stress helping each other and stuff like that, and they were really hurt by the end in terms of not having much left. But they didn't spend any of it to resist any consequences. So every time they got physical damage. So sure enough, later on, when they're trying to recover, you roll dice for that during downtime, and a lot of them are still hurt. And I'm like, this is why sometimes you use your stresses to resist.
Oh. That's a good point.
And you get back your stress by indulging in your vice. Every character has some sort of vice. So in between games, you indulge in vice, and it brings your stress back.
Oh, it helps
back.
You feel better. Brings it back. Okay. Or brings it back to you have.
They get more back.
You
yeah,
can spend
yeah, yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting.
But it's absolutely insane. Yeah, and then I think the same one who got the terrible roll with five dice had like two dice looking for the thing they were trying to get and got a critical. So I'm like, literally the crate falls open. It's right there. You manage to put it in your pocket before they even see. and then out the door. And no, it was just so awesome. I'm very excited. And they pissed off a lot of people. I didn't do it too well. They technically went up against people that were much, 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 much more powerful than them. And they succeeded. So their reputation is huge now. Like, they're very close to already getting to, like, the next tier.
Okay. Yeah.
On the other hand, they generated so much heat from the authorities that they're already at a wanted level from things. So it's a little bit crazy right now.
So,
but I love it.
So when they were up against people a lot more powerful than them, did you anticipate that they would handle it a different way?
No, they had some options. They were trying to acquire an artifact. And they knew where it was at the moment, and they knew where it was going to be eventually. They knew who bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all did. They actually went in four different directions to start gathering information about things, which is part of why we were so late, too, because they split it in four ways, and they were all doing things to find out.
Mm.
And they eventually found out when it was going to be moved.
Mm.
And they decided to hit the original warehouse. They decided that was the best way to go. But unbeknownst to them, because in general, we have stuff straight up, but they did a lot of things in gathering their information that had consequences. And I said, like, I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And what it actually was a little clock I'd made that was ticks till basically they got tipped off that somebody was coming. And right near the end, that's what happened, which is part of it got people in trouble. I was like, that guy that beat you up wouldn't even have been there, but you had just done this, and it caused that clock to tip.
That's clever.
A lot of stuff is straight up, because like, there were things about when are the guards going to be alerted, and I told them that, but this one, I was like, I'm keeping this one.
Yeah, right.
And they put in some fun stuff. A couple of them, their backgrounds, they have people they want to get revenge on, and that's good, and some one's an immigrant from a pretty messed up war that her people lost, so there's a lot of animosity there waiting.
Do they have like interesting things in relationships that, between them, or like a
yes
past?
They basically worked it out. Now the gang, this is a brand new gang.
Oh, okay.
They decided that they are the founding members. It has just happened.
Okay.
And it's all based on one of their characters who basically was a poor person who was really smart. And managed to work their way out of poverty to basically become a really impressive lawyer.
And
eventually decided they could be way more successful using these skills on the other side of the law.
Sure.
And so they started recruiting people. And they recruited one person who was somebody they grew up with who had been a factory worker who got fired. So basically had been a homeless person who had turned to thievery. So they recruited them, and then they recruited somebody who was an old client of theirs because, like, they defended them from things that they're like, wow, you're really good at this. I'm going to get you. And then the last one was they found this bouncer. Like, somebody said, I know you're putting together people. You should come check this out. And they found this bouncer and watched her just kick the crap out of people, and they were like, we need one of those. But what's funny to me is we talked about how it was the A-team by coincidence. They had the really strong one, and they had the face one, and then they had the one in charge, and then the crazy one. Who's the one who jumped from the rafters. But the one who sort of set everything up is a male character, and the other three are females. I'm like, no, it's actually Charlie's Angels.
Well, so a few of them have a history with one another, but it doesn't.
They all sort of do now.
Okay.
They're all connected, but one of them was essentially recruited. One of them was a former client of the founder.
Right. So
and
that's
one was an old childhood friend of the founder.
Okay.
Yeah. And right now they are the only. The way they built it, they have no other gang members at this point. Like, you can put that in. You can have gangs that you control or, like, cohorts. But they got none of those. So it's literally just the four of them. So it's very interesting, and I'm very excited. And they're still adjusting. There's a lot of things I had to keep talking because they kept wanting to say, oh, I'll roll my whatever to do this. And I'm like, no, we don't talk about the things. You tell me what you're going to do, and then we figure out what it means. And in fact, they get to decide what skill they're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, like, they literally are the arbiters of that.
Mm-hmm.
What I get to decide as the GM is I get to determine position and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And position is how risky is it? So if you screw up, how bad is the screw up going to be? And so there's controlled, risky, and desperate. And then effect is how effective it's going to be. And so it could be a standard effect or a great effect or a limited effect or zero effect. So they can pick something. If it's crazy enough, I can be like, well, that's incredibly desperate and it's going to have zero effect. But you can do things like taking the stress to get the extra dice. You can also take stress to increase effect and things like that.
Oh.
So they're still not – nothing is ever impossible.
Right.
They can do things for it, but – yeah, it's basically that's the whole thing that makes the PCs interesting is they have this stress track, which pretty much lets them, like in game, it's just luck and savvy of the scoundrel, but in mechanical terms, they can just alter reality to make it more exciting. And we're very much going for what's a cool story. Like I keep telling them, I'm like, don't even think like what would my character do necessarily. Think what would be something that I think would be fun to have in the story.
Right, right.
And so far, it's good. Some of them adjusting. Because everything is done with their roles, some of them are having to get used to more acting than reacting. So, like, in a traditional role-playing game, the bad guys are going to attack you. I'm going to roll for them to attack. Doesn't happen. Now. The bad guys are attacking you. You're doing something,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to roll whatever that something is.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the result, some of the consequences may be that they successfully attack you.
Yeah.
But so a lot of them were sort of waiting for something to happen. Like, oh, tell me what you're going to do. And we'll go over there.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Which takes some getting used to. But they did a great job. And I think it'll go much faster in the future because we're doing a lot. And like on each roll, I was like, okay, do you want to push yourself? Does anybody want to assist? Can we think of that? And going forward, I probably won't.
Do you think there's a possibility that you or them or both of you will like this, doing it this way better, or it'll just be a different way to do it?
No, I think this is going to be my new favorite thing. And the only sad thing is, you know, I'm in a constant quest to find like a game system that I love and I can just run everything from that.
Yeah.
This doesn't work well for that.
Oh,
this is
sure.
a very specific kind of game.
Yeah, right.
So far there have been three versions. There's this one where you're a bunch of thieves in this fantasy city. There's a version where you're a bunch of crooks in space, and there's recently a version where you're part of this military legion trying to get back to your home or whatever. But it still lends itself to a particular style of cyclical role play with like a certain heightened level of stress going on that you couldn't just do in any kind of game.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm a little disappointed in that, but no, I think I'm gonna love this. I'm very excited. I'm loving it so far.
Well, you must have done other things this week.
So, you remember how I was playing Conan Exiles?
Yeah, you were.
And then I stopped playing it so I could play Divinity Original Sin.
Yes, that's right.
And then I stopped playing that so I could play Vampire.
Vampire, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Then I stopped playing Vampire because of the coronavirus.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, too close to home.
Yes.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then I bought a whole bunch of new games, like
yes.
a bunch of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I remember that now, yep.
And got some out of my library or whatever, and I started playing Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, which I don't know what that is.
And I did that for a while, and then I decided I didn't like that, so then I was playing Darksiders.
Oh, yeah, right, Darksiders, yep.
I may have this week purchased, installed, and started playing No Man's Sky.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well.
It really felt like it suits me right now because it's not high stress.
It isn't.
It's very much a do thing. And it's not the game that originally came out. Like,
no, it's got.
They have improved the shit out of it.
Yeah, they've really improved it. That's right.
And so far, it's pretty cool so far.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think I'm going to be less focused on the building and more on the exploring. But
yeah, my wife liked it even when it was not, you know, it was just came out. It wasn't the best thing, but she still liked it, and she liked all the improvements, but she hasn't played it for a while.
Yeah. So, yeah, I might be playing that now. That feels like a good grindy game that feels like I'm accomplishing something.
Sure,
it doesn't stress me out. And
and
I'm like, that might be what I need right now. Also, this is clearly just sort of my version of retail therapy on a lot of this stuff. Also, Saturday, we're going to start playing with the family an online D&D game.
Oh.
Not the campaign we've been playing when we visit. This is going to be some separate, like, one-shot thing. So I'm making a new character and everything. So that's going to be fun. Not too much else. We finished Umbrella Academy. Had we done that when I last talked to you?
I mean, you talked about it. I think you finished it, but maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you were about to finish it.
So when it started, I was very excited.
Yeah.
Pretty much as it went on, I liked it less and less, and I was just hated it by the end.
You did?
I did. Here's the deal. It was a really intriguing concept. Still is. A lot of interesting mythology there. Okay. A lot of world building.
All right.
Very, very different and interesting. The characters and the plot points are the most cliched bullshit I've ever encountered.
That's true.
The last, like, three or four episodes, I knew everything that was going to happen.
That's right.
And I hated everyone. And I didn't, none of them did I like. And that sucked. There's still a chance I'll watch the second season. Because, again, I think we're going to build on this world building stuff. And it's interesting stuff. We'll have to see. But, yeah, I got so annoyed. People were supposed to be dead and came back. And I was, like, annoyed they were back alive. They were good guys. And I was, like, annoyed they were still alive. Klaus continued to be my favorite throughout. Which was especially funny when I looked up the actor and found out he was the male lead in that shitty Mortal Engines movie. Because they're such different characters.
Was?
Yeah, he was. It's funny.
Huh.
Well,
I haven't seen Mortal Engines, but I didn't remember seeing him in, like, the previews or anything.
Yeah, he was just, like, the teenage love interest guy in that.
Huh.
So it was a funny shift there. But, yeah, we finished that. We're watching Devs. We've only watched, like, two episodes. I don't know. I think we might need something kind of friendly, so I think we might be doing Marvelous Miss Maisel next.
Oh, yeah.
Because something that's not depressing.
Have you ever watched Ozark?
No, but Trish has started the third season and is not sure she's going to bother.
Oh, we watched it. We thought it was okay. I mean, yeah, it was okay.
We'll see what happens. I'm also thinking about just rewatching The Good Place because I love that show.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's awesome.
That's a good one to watch if you want something that will mostly make you feel good.
Yeah. I think that's it. But I'm playing more video games than I'm watching. And I'm reading a lot. I'm reading this third Discworld book. And I know Stu said the fourth one is when he got hooked. I'm digging this third one.
Really?
Yes. It's a gender models one. It's a satire about gender stereotypes. It's a book about a girl potentially becoming the first female wizard, because in Discworld women are witches and men are wizards, and it's literally different kinds of magic, and it is believed that they are just physically incapable of doing the other one. And it's just very clever. For an old man, he writes a precocious 9-year-old girl really well. And it's just this one really feels like he found his footing. And to be fair, once I read the second one, the first one wasn't bad. The first and second are basically one book and really probably should be considered that. Because the first one ends very abruptly and the second one literally just takes the same story. But I'm really digging this third one, so I'm pretty pleased. And they're very sort of positive and light. And
okay.
So I think they're nice. I'm not going to read them one after the other, but I think interspersing them between my other books is good.
When I'm trying to write right now, and when I'm doing that, I don't, like, read very much. But yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe with everything going on, I just... Because as when I sit down to write, it's hard.
At this point, I'm not even touching it. I'm
pretty stressed out.
I'm in survival mode, so I'm like, what's going to stress me the least and just make me feel... You know,
maybe that's part of it.
What is the comfort food of my universe? And a lot of that is comfort food. But also...
But I'd hate for the... I mean, this is going to go on for a while, and I'd hate to not get anything done over the course of several
weeks. Just keep track of your feelings. Because in theory... The more we get used to it, the less stressful it is, in theory.
Yeah, well.
But
now that's true in terms of getting used to the way we're living.
Yeah.
But the counterbalance
of euphemisms is still going to be there.
The counterbalance is more people are going to be dead. You know, someone I know is going to be impacted somehow.
Yeah.
So that, you know, however much I've adapted to. All the stuff, there's going to be more bad news.
You know what I think will help the most? If you draw a question out of the hat, because we only got like 10 minutes.
Okay.
That'll make you feel better. Unless Azertalen wrote it.
We started talking about the pirates, and I...
We forgot to tell you what this podcast is about. All the stuff you heard, that's what it's about.
Except for this part.
Yeah. Which is very little of it. You need to write in more, though, people. We're almost out. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Please write us some things.
Azertalen.
Damn it.
Well, it's signed I Am Azertalen. Is that a thing now? Has he changed his name to I Am Azertalen?
I don't know. Maybe that's his first name, Ian.
With an exclamation point. Anyway.
It's probably part of a terrible joke in the question.
Sirs.
All right.
What, is he talking to us?
I assume.
Oh, that's weird. In episode 461, Tony declares, I am genocide. You did? Okay.
I mean, it sounds like something I would do.
And Kazoo's a little ditty. Did you have a kazoo?
I highly doubt it.
Was that a supervillain debut? A death metal song? And then he uses bad language, so that won't repeat. Hum a little death metal ditty. What is he talking about?
I don't know. I don't listen to the podcast, so. And it was like 10 weeks ago.
Was that a supervillain debut?
Absolutely not. I have been around for a long time. I have never hid my supervillainy.
No, you never have.
So, no, this isn't my I'll tell you about the supervillain's debut. It was a chilly January morn. In 1977, St. Vincent's Hospital in Portland, they cut my mom open and pulled out a supervillain. And I was like, why so serious? And then I shot them all with the gun I had in the womb. It was fun just to watch your brain take that in. Because it was all over your face.
There's too many things going on in my head. Like, first of all, one part of my head is like, oh, your mom had a cesarean section when you were born? That's weird. I didn't know that. And another part...
Oh, you shot all the medical people? That's weird. Wait, so the Joker got that from you?
Wait, and then the gun? Where did the gun come from? Do I even want to know the answer to that question? So all of this stuff's going on in my head, and I just didn't even know what to say.
My mother had two cesarean sections, and it was my sister's fault. My sister was essentially a breech baby, and she, like, pushed herself into a position that damaged things from the inside, so my mom couldn't push out a kid.
Oh.
So she had two cesareans.
I mean, I don't think my mom ever had a cesarean.
I blame a lot of things on my sister, and it starts from there.
Why would you say I am genocide? What would even motivate you to say that? Isn't that weird? This wasn't that long ago, and we can't remember. There must have been something.
It sounds a little bit like I am Iron Man, you know? And then there would be a little ditties. I am genocide.
Maybe it was a joke of some kind. I don't know.
I mean, I assume.
I mean, yes. I think you were being serious. No, but I mean, like, it wasn't out of the blue or it wasn't the first thing you said when you started the podcast.
Listen.
It was related. I meant it was related to something you were talking
about. Full on psychotic
Never
break.
Mind.
William?
Shut up.
You want to live or you want to die?
Can I get back to you on that?
No.
You have to answer now.
Yes.
And if you want to die, go to Quick Mart where the kids come and go. Where the kids are.
White kids. With buckets that they want you to put money in.
Do you want to live?
Which is just.
Or do you want to die?
That's giving money. He said giving money to the coronavirus. Like those children were fundraising?
I mean, if people don't know, it's a little funnier for the fact that there is a town called Kelowna south of here.
Yeah, sorry. There's a town very close by called Kelowna.
It's an Amish, originally an Amish town. All of that makes it a little funnier, actually. But it wouldn't have to be true. It just sounds funny.
I mean, I'm confident none of it's true.
No, I mean, it wouldn't have to be true that the town called Kelowna.
I'm pretty sure I was joking when I said it was just...
It would have been funny if there was no such town as Kelowna near here, but there is.
Yes, yes.
Which this person undoubtedly knows, but whatever.
I don't want to speculate on what this person knows at all.
Well, I mean, it's possible they thought that the virus came from Kelowna. I mean...
I think it's like that thing where people say, like, all this money goes to cancer research, and it's like, why are you researching more cancer? That's terrible. Like, good money for the virus. I don't want to pay for the virus.
Do you want to live or do you want to die? Like, so funny. But you weren't even going that direction. That is so weird to me.
No, I was just close by. I think I was the first person he saw after his brain came up with this.
Well.
And he was worried I was headed towards come and go.
Well, I mean... Here's the thing about that. And I was talking earlier about how I noticed myself getting like worked up, even about things I'm not really worked up about. And I'm mm-hmm. trying to work that out. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I catch myself doing that, even though, you know, all that's happened is my voice is raised and my heart rate's gone up, I could see if I didn't stop myself and like I'm on a walk with my wife and I'm doing this, I'd probably, from someone else's vantage point, look like a raging maniac.
Oh, you think he had just realized the preponderance of sexist euphemisms.
No.
At that moment.
No, I'm saying that maybe because this all is so stressful for him, when he saw these kids supposedly being so blasé about all of this, that it just made him very angry, and so it kind of made him have a little episode.
Last night.
You know, anger does that.
I told you, I think before we started the podcast, date night was driving to Grinnell.
Yeah.
And going through Taco John's drive-thru because they still have Taco John's, and then driving home so that we were still isolated. But we sat by a lake there, by a park that's actually really close to a cemetery, while we ate. And there were kids hanging out, and they were just hanging out with each other. Mm. And Trish was being very judgy. And she's like, I have definitely reached a new point in life because I'm watching those kids and judging them. And they know I'm watching them. And I don't care that they know.
Like, well, see, that's...
I am too old for this
shit.
That's
another thing that I caught myself doing was I would be talking about either people in a general sense or specific people and saying things about people that I don't generally like to say, like they're stupid or whatever. And then it's like, why am I saying I don't really think these people are stupid? That's not very nice. And that's one of the things that made me stop and realize I must be really upset if I'm talking like this about people.
Were they perhaps on your lawn?
No, they were just...
I mean...
They were... No, I don't want to say who they were.
Kids today?
But I mean, on the podcast, at least one time I've done that. And I listened later and I thought, wow, I must have been more. I didn't even notice at the time. But when I listened to it, it's like, wow, I was more upset about that than I thought I was.
I still have the thing when I'm enthusiastic about something, my tone and my volume tend to go up. And that includes when I'm positive.
Yeah,
about
positive
something.
About it. Right.
But depending on the context, it can still look like I'm getting angry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. You've mentioned that before.
And it can be very disconcerting to other people, especially when I end it with, do you want to live? You want to
Are you going to start doing that? Because you're going to freak a lot of people out.
100% the title of this podcast.
Well, do you think it should be the... I mean, okay, fine. Yeah, make it the title.
Yeah, I didn't want the coronavirus. As much there. All right, people. So, I have some bad news. Jimmy Downs has discontinued the Frenchie. I found that out today. But if you order a slim number 5, the bread's a different shape, but it's basically a Frenchie without the butter. So you can do that.
I didn't know they made Frenchies.
They do. Based on your tone, I 100% know You are thinking of something else.
A cheese Frenchie?
Right there. No, I don't.
Oh,
yeah, no.
That's too bad. That would have been cool if they ever had those.
No.
Do you know what cheese Frenchie is?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, it's not the same then.
No. No, this is, they call it a Frenchie because it is a bastardization of a particularly common French sandwich that I forget what it is called.
Oh.
But it is a baguette with salted butter on it and then capicola, salami, and provolone cheese. And it's really good.
A cheese Frenchie is a deep-fried cheese sandwich, usually on Texas toast. It usually has, it's probably Miracle Whip, but it doesn't, it just seems like a nice mild sauce in there.
I'll eat that.
And they deep fry it, and it is so good.
I will definitely eat that.
That's a cheese Frenchie.
All right. But if you like Jimmy John's Frenchies, too bad, but you can get a Slim number 5, and that's essentially the same thing. You just got to add your own butter. I hate to break that to y'all. I know it's very sad. In the meantime, be safe. Keep listening. And write in themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. And we will talk to you again soon. Although don't be surprised if suddenly the format gets weird because we have to start doing it remotely. But we will keep doing it because we love you that much.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.